Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the top 10 of Revelation. This is volume four, maybe four last things to think about as we leave Revelation. This is season 27, episode number 99. Number 31, more. Revelation leaves us wanting more. So there's true things about heaven that are not recorded in the book of Revelation and maybe things we haven't talked about. It's not all here, but there is enough here, and there's enough to say if you look in the book of Revelation and read it and meditate on it, where you end up saying, I want more of you. And that is perfectly normal. God has designed you to desire God himself and desire him for yourself. He has put eternity into man's heart, and we see it very clearly in reading the book of Revelation. Number 32, the church. So God has always loved his church. Jesus will always love his church. And Jesus thinks about his churches specifically and individually. And we do not live here outside of his church. And we do not live there outside of his church. He is thinking about you in your interaction with the church here. And in the end, we are to be of his church there too. So my prayer is that God would give you an inordinate love for a particular expression of his church here. And then we're going to get one there automatically. Number 33, rewards. Heaven is a place of reward. He is your rewarder. That is his character of God. And our crowns cannot be understood outside of a relationship to Jesus's crowns and the thorn and the suffering and the death and the blood. No Jesus, no crown. But here's the point. If you do get a crown in heaven, a reward in heaven, do what everybody else is doing in heaven with it. They're casting it down. They're giving it back. They're offering it to the Lord. Number 34, imperfection. I love this about the Bible. As you read it, if you read the book of Acts, Paul gets it wrong with Barnabas. Peter fellowships wrongly with the Jews, and they correct themselves. And even in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, John misworships twice. He worships angels twice. To credit of the angels, they don't receive that worship. So just the reassurance that the Bible is full of even these heroes of the faith are imperfect people trying to get it right. It starts with the first page. It ends on the last page. Adam, David, etc. And the comforting thing is, what does God have for you and me to correct today? God is in the refinement business. He does it all the way to the end of his book. Number 35. Face. We get the privilege in heaven of the citizenship of seeing his face. So we are meant to live with God forever in fellowship. And he gives us a new ability not to die when we see his face. So he gives us this ability to appreciate him, study him, and get to know him and enjoy him. And this critical aspect of Eden is restored. That is, that God is here. He wants us to see him, and that's where we will be. So the place that he has created is also the place created for you. The place created for you is also the place he's created for himself. He made a place that he and the people can be together, God with man, God with woman, just like Eden. So kind of leaving myself with a question, who did God make Eden for? Well, the easy answer is people. The second answer is he made it for himself. All right, number 36. Heaven is going to be interesting. There's going to be no churches. It's going to be lit by God. Nothing accursed is going to be there. We won't tire of it. There's going to be no more death. The big passage is from 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. So what's heaven going to be like? Your tear problem, your crying problem, which you can hear, is going to be solved. And why does he tell us this? He tells us this to excite our hope. Our world is one of tears. That world has no tears. So let's prepare ourselves by knowing it and imagining it and trusting in this future. So number 37, thirst. There's a river of life that flows out of the throne, and we're charged to come to the waters, no money, come and buy it with money and without price. Buy it without money. So come to the water, everyone who is thirsty. Come buy and eat, everybody who has no money. Buy with the money he who is without price. And if I can get he who is without price without money, what's the cost? Well, it's he paid the cost. He came and bore all the big costs. I have a little cost, which is my coming. All right, number 38, we are immortal. Nobody ever dies. Everybody is immortal, the good guys and the bad guys. All people are resurrected, and God is in the resurrection business. And our judgment, which happens right after that, is based on our deeds or based on Jesus' deeds. You don't die at your first death. You don't die at the second death. And we all have perfectly appropriate consequences. Nobody in heaven claims that justice is not done. Now, they may wail. So the point is we need to act accordingly now. Let me just make one mention of evil. So number 39, Satan does not get to have the last word in the Bible. He's got a lot of words now and a lot of activities now. Just turn on the TV or look in your heart. He's not on the last page of the Bible. The fight against him, however, in God's perspective was a cakewalk. God defeated him with the breath of his mouth. What was temporarily allowed by the sovereignty of God is no longer allowed. He is summoned. He's cast into the lake of fire. And so if you think about evil, don't worry. Ultimately, God's got this. Then the final thing, number 40, is choice. So we are going to live forever, and it depends on where we're going to live forever. But he's told us so many things. He's given us so many details, and he's reliable in this prophecy we called Revelation. So what happens after you die ultimately depends on God. He's boss, he's sovereign, and only he has power in that realm. So God makes choices. But we have some power now. What happens after you die depends in a great measure on what you do now. What will you do about your sin? What will you do about the penalty that it carries? It's best to fall on Jesus, lean on him, and it is so far above our pay grade. So, but what is within our pay grade, which is to decide today to say, I'll follow, I repent, I'm sorry, I believe, I need you, Lord, receive me, I receive you, I'm with you now so I can be with you then. Let's not leave God out. Let's leave God in. Thank you for listening with me. The Book of Revelation.